Everyone reading the word together, it's so important for us to remember this, that we are a congregation of people who look at God's word together, and we listen to God's word spoken, and we act out God's work in his word in the society we live in as well. So we are equipped today with a message. The full reading from this scripture is in our lectionary readings. I want to remind everyone that we are following through lectionary readings that are provided, and if you need the link for that, it's in the bulletin, or you can find it online, also in the bulletin. Each week we have that posted, or if you need it, you can reach out to me. But it's really wonderful to be able to read through the lectionary lessons every day. They go every day through the whole year, and in 3 years, we will have read through the entire Bible. So it's a great way for us to do that. If you've never read through the Bible before, I want to encourage you to do that. It can be daunting. But it's more great than daunting. Anything in life is going to be challenging if you look at it as a whole. But if you take it piece by piece, each day, looking at God's word and read through it, he will touch your heart and he will change you in wonderful ways and equip you in wonderful ways. So we're not going to get to the entire scripture today that was in the lectionary about Jesus calming the storm and coming to the disciples. But it helps us to be able to see that Jesus is able to do all things, right? He's able to do the amazing. He's able to do the impossible in our lives. And so when we go into this lesson today, we want to keep that in mind as a whole and looking at this great scripture about the feeding of the 5,000. It's interesting. Also in the lectionary this week, there is scripture from the Old Testament, and every week and every day you'll have lectionary readings in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, and there is a common theme between them that is fun to find. It's challenging, but the high school class has been doing that, looking at this lectionary and trying to find a common theme between the scriptures. And it's really rewarding. But anyway, one of the scriptures is found in 2 Kings 4, 42 to 44, and I want to read it to you. It's very brief, but I think you'll understand why I'm reading it. It says, a man from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, give to the men that they may eat. But his servant said, how can I set this before 100 men? So he repeated, give them to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left. So he set it before him. And they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Sounds familiar, right? It's an instance where Elisha was the one who was present, and the Lord said, give them, these 100 people, food to eat. And they're like, there's not enough. He said, give it to them. Give it to them, because thus says the Lord. The Lord is telling them, they shall eat and have some left. It's interesting to see, at least you can see the connection that we have in our lectionary readings of this message of obeying God and trusting God, having faith in God, and doing what he says to do. It's a big step in a child's life when they learn to do what they're told. Do you agree? We are all children at one time. We know that lesson. Maybe you can remember a time in your life when you were told to do something you didn't want to do, and then you said, I will do it. And what a relief there was in the world and the universe when you did, because the parents were happy, and you were happy because you obeyed, and then God was happy, and there's this feeling of like, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't understand this, but I'll do it. God teaches us this very vividly in his words so that we can grow closer to him and understand our purpose here in life. It's not for ourselves. It is to do the work of God and to glorify him. And great things happen when we obey. Well, there's another section of scripture that all of the gospels actually, it's very interesting. The miracle of feeding the 5,000 is the only miracle during Jesus' ministry that is recorded in all four of the gospels. It's interesting, right, to think that this is the one that all four of the gospels have in common. And the book of Mark is a gospel that we had studied in our weekly Bible study on Wednesday nights. And there's an account of the 5,000 being fed in the book of Mark as well. And I want to go there with the purpose of showing through the questions and the reactions of the disciples when Jesus is testing them to see if they will have faith in him and that they will obey what he says to carry out his word in feeding people at that time. The lessons that we can learn from the responses, the questions, these kind of things. And so I want to begin with the book of Mark, and then we'll go to the book of John after that. In chapter 6 of Mark, 35 to 37, it says this, "And when it grew late," this is like during the time when Jesus was teaching all the 5,000, 20,000 people, the great number of people there. It says, "When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" Okay? Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." Now, this is a really important scripture. This is a really important and I think a very, very direct way to our hearts to understand them and to understand ourselves. They're looking at things in a way that is tied in with what normal people in life would think. There's 20,000 people here. We are just a few. And they're hungry. It's a desolate place. The hour's late. Send them off to the surrounding places. Let them go. Send them away. And let them buy themselves something to eat. They're hungry. And Jesus says to them, "You give them something to eat." Now this is, put yourself in their position. Give them something to eat with what? Right? He's testing them by saying, "You feed them." It's breaking them into the kingdom thinking, the kingdom mindset, and it's a preparation for them to do what he is doing once he has left them. When Jesus says, "You give them something to eat," they are forced to consider whether they are going to just let it be done by someone else, or by themselves, those people, or not at all. And I don't know about you, but I have been in situations like that where I see a need, and I have decided that there will be someone else, surely, who will step up to the bat and swing and do the job. Plenty of people around. I can go on with my life. I can do what I feel is necessary because someone will take care of them. Or these people themselves will take care of themselves. Right? So that is one of the things that we read in Mark that is brought out through his gospel. The next thing they say in Mark is, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Well, obviously all they have is 200 denarii worth of bread, right? They can go and buy the bread with that much money. And they're not saying, "Let's do that." What they're saying is, "All we have is this much money. That's not going to be enough." Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that kind of a thing, I also can hear myself in life many times thinking, "Well, there's not enough money to do this, so we can't do it." But that is limited to my scope in my life and me, inside of me alone as a human being. But when I have God, the whole thing changes. We're brought from the worldly aspect, the human aspect, the limitation aspect to the unlimitedness of God. When Jesus says, "You give them something to eat," and they respond that the money they have is not enough, it shows that they're still in this worldly mindset. And what Jesus is teaching them and continues to teach them in the story of the storm on the boat is that his being the Son of God is real in their midst. And this carries over into the time when he will be crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. They will not always have him with them, but he will be with them always. His power is given to them to do greater things than he has done. He's equipping them, he's teaching them, and he is teaching us through them today. So that we don't listen to stories like this and say, "That was a good story about the disciples." We say, "Okay, how am I going to apply this to my life now?" We learn the lesson now that they were learning firsthand, that Jesus wants us to do the impossible. Do you believe that? But the only way to do the impossible is by taking the first step of faith. It takes a step. What they did was say, let them do it themselves. They are hungry, send them home. Jesus said, you feed them. You learn the lesson firsthand that Jesus wants us to do the impossible. The only way to do it is by taking a step of faith. The very fact that the disciples were saying, it's getting late and we're out in the middle of nowhere, so let's send them away, shows an attitude that Jesus needs to teach about, and I believe that we need to be taught about as well. What it points out is a very human tendency toward taking the easy way out. But we are called to be of Christ, and the easy way out is never really a choice in the kingdom of God. Amen? But there's something more here that Jesus is teaching, I believe. It's to understand the power of God to do the impossible. Today we need to believe that God can do the impossible. I'd like to share a commercial that I watched this past week. The Olympics are going on. I don't know if you've watched them. There's a lot of talk of being able to do amazing things and doing the impossible on the TV through the Olympics. You know, the examples of people who work hard. I'd like to share this one with you at this time.
Mikey Peterson drops in with a clean carb off the top.
You could be me!
Me?
Actually, you could be better than me.
You could empower more girls than me.
Score more victories than me!
You could be the man I always dreamed I could be.
Naho. Naho. It's game time.
I get it. You're scared.
I'm not gonna make
it. I was scared too.
We'll never get anywhere unless you take that first step.
This was mine.
Then you take another, and then next thing you know, this is you.
And you're conducting an orchestra in Sydney.
And he's in London.
Look, if I can make it here, and I came from here.
Just imagine how far you can go. Because you don't need to be amazing to start, but you need to start to be amazing.
Toyota, start your impossible.
Okay, so that was obviously not a commercial for you to go out and buy a Toyota. But there's a lot of things we couldn't hear so clearly on there, maybe here in the building. But basically the idea there is that they showed people who were facing great adversity, people who had lost limbs, right? And they had these prosthetic limbs and arms and things. And then they were able to go out and to perform, and they were successful at it. And so they never gave up. But there's one thing that they say at the end. It says this: you don't have to be amazing to start, but you have to start to be amazing. I believe that. I don't believe in Toyota, you know, the whole thing that they're trying to say about, you know, that's not the emphasis here. Okay, that's fine for them to say that. But they have something that strikes home with people. There are a lot of people that will give up on life when something bad happens in their life. And this is an encouragement for them not to do that, but to take a step. And then you can see the one person that had lost a limb, and they show them in the physical therapy session, and they took their first step with a prosthetic leg. And then they went on from there to go on to be in the Olympics, to be able to perform, right? I believe that we as Christians need to learn from this. I believe that a lot of Christians do not believe that God is able to do the impossible. And they are still at that point where they're saying, I'm not going to take that first step. And I believe that that's what we have to do. We have to take that to heart. And we're listening about this all week. And the world is saying things like that. And they're showing all the possibilities that humankind is able to do at this time. And there are amazing things that people are able to do. But we as Christians believe that we all possess those gifts and those abilities because God has given them to us. Right? They don't just come from within ourselves so that we promote the human race. We are promoting God and saying that God has given us these abilities. Now, what are we going to do with them? It says again, you don't have to be amazing to start, but you have to start to be amazing. We have to start, right? We have to take that step, and God will bless it. Food was given up by that little boy, and God took it and blessed it and multiplied it. When we open our hearts and minds to look for this and to be on the alert for God's working, in seemingly impossible situations, we will begin to grow in faith and become more and more used to living with the expectation each day of something amazing happening. Do you go into your day dreading that day and thinking about the hardships that you are going to face, or do you go into that day with the assurance that God has put you on this earth for a purpose, and then that day there is going to be something amazing happening because of your belief in Jesus Christ? That is what we want. Let us learn from those questions and the example of the disciples there and what Jesus taught them. Now going to chapter 6 of John and our lesson today, it says this: lifting up his eyes then and seeing a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" So this is a different take on the same story, and there's a different kind of a question, but it comes out with the same kind of a lesson. But Jesus is the one saying to Philip, and John chooses to take Philip and Andrew and talk about their experience in talking to the Lord and how they were taught to do what Jesus wanted them to do. "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" And Jesus said it to them to test them, because he already knew what he was going to do. So Jesus was going to feed them, but he wanted to take this moment to teach his disciples. So what did Philip answer him? 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. So now we see some insight to the other example given by Mark, where he's saying, we only have this much money. It's not going to be enough to buy enough, the food to feed all these people. Thousands of people. So how was he testing Philip? He knew that he was going to provide the food for the 5,000 and more. But he wanted to test him. And as we heard in the Gospel of Mark, the answer of not enough money shows a worldly attitude. Understandable. But this teachable moment is to help them to depend on God, not our own means. It is to open their minds and their hearts to the greatness of God, so that they do not, when they have Jesus leave them, when he leaves them and dies on the cross and is in that grave, and they're going through those 3 days, they are searching their hearts to remember what Jesus had told them, that all things are possible. Death itself cannot hold the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the moment when he comes back and he appears to them, that they would see that example of how God is not going to be limited in this world. He is the God of being unlimited in all things. He does the impossible. He brings back to life. The Lord Jesus comes back to life and he appears to them. And that is what he is teaching them here in this moment before he has to die. One of the disciples goes on, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" So there's 2 ways that we can look at Andrew and his response here and what he's saying to Jesus. The first part is there's a little boy here and he has some food. It's a very small amount. It's a very, very small amount. 5 barley loaves. The barley loaves were very small loaves of bread and 2 fish, and it was going to be for 20,000 people. His question was, but what are they for so many? Think about that for a moment. Can you think of a moment in your own life where you asked that question? What are they for so many people? What can we do when the situation is so dire, when we're outnumbered, when we have enough bread and loaves for one kid? That is a question that is really reeking of unfaith. And Jesus is taking this moment to teach them. Teaches the lack of faith, but it's really a mindset of our old man and the old woman that needs to be sanctified out of limitedness and into God's unlimitedness. When we look at what Jesus did after he received the food from the small boy, he took it and thanked God, and then it was given to the people. The other side of the response of Andrew, that we have this food, is that he was giving it to Jesus. He took a step, and he said, "Here it is." And then look at what happened after that.
Jesus prayed over it. He blessed it. He gave it out.
It never stopped multiplying until every mouth was fed. They were satisfied. We read in other Bibles, in other Gospels, that the mouths were fed till they were satisfied and they had more than enough. Take that in. Breathe that in, everybody. Breathe in the magic, the power of God, the power of God to multiply, to bring forth, to change situations, to transform, to bring hope, all of these things into our lives. That is what it takes. Take a step. Give God loaves and two fish and see what he will do with it. What in your life now is a moment that Jesus is teaching you that you can use for this? Let's look again at the people for a moment that are sitting there. They're on this mountain, 20,000 people. Imagine in your mind a football stadium, 20,000 people, or maybe Madison Square Garden with 20,000 people. What if they had sent the people away? What if they had sent the people away? That was the suggestion. Send them away. It's late. This is a desolate place. We don't have any food. We only have a little bit of money. We can't go get it ourselves and bring it back. The list goes on. What kind of excuses do we have? All these excuses. I can't do it. I can't possibly do that. What if we were to say today it's going to rain so we can't go to the park? Let's call it off. Right? But we don't do that because we have faith in God. We need to come into the kingdom kind of thinking. Here were people who were sheep without a shepherd. They were being taught. They were being healed of their sicknesses. They were all there seeking something for their lives. They were people who needed healing spiritually. They needed a miracle. They needed a miracle, and Jesus was that miracle. And what did the disciples say? Send them home. Let them take care of themselves. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn from that. Don't ever, ever think that way. When a teachable moment comes, when a moment comes to transform lives, take that step. Take that step and go. And then you see the power of God working through you in your life, and you'll see that faith coming into it, and that's what we want. We do not want to be spectators. Life is too important. You're too important to God to give up and say, let somebody else do the work. When a moment comes and God gives that opportunity to you to grab it, embrace it, take it. There are people that are without limbs that are doing it. Why can't we? We have an almighty God. We have a God who does the impossible. Right? There are people who needed direction in life. There were people who had physical needs for food. They needed to see that God was present in their lives. And that was the moment. And so Jesus took it, and all he needed was someone to show faith. And they gave him some bread. And he produced it for them. There's definitely a lesson here for us to learn. We don't simply teach people and send them on their way. Let me teach you a story about the Bible and then send them off. We live with them. We experience life together. We're together in this world. And man, if it means that we have to miss appointments or we have to miss out on other things that we have going in our life, and I mean even missing out on earning a living sometimes to take that risk and to say, I need to help people that are lying on the road and in need of my help, then we are to do it. Because God has great power to do the impossible. And he's looking to see if we're going to do it. There was a story by George Orwell. He was a great author. You probably read some of his books, but he wrote an autobiography of some time that he spent in Paris. And while he was in Paris, it was when he was younger, he experienced poverty. He was living in a kind of a hostel, you know, this place where you go and you pay just a little bit of money. And he was trying to make a living there. He was trying to begin a career. And some guy came into the hostel and he was a robber, he was a thief, and he went through all the rooms and he took all the money out of the beds and all of the places that the people that were staying there while they were asleep. So they all woke up and they had no money. And he faced poverty and not having anything for the first time in his life. And he said it was just like, suddenly, what am I going to do? And he was put in this position where he wanted to go and buy something to eat and he had no money. And so for the first time in his life, he started thinking, am I going to have to steal something to get my food? And then people started to look down on him because they could tell that he began to smell and he was not able to wash himself. He had to sell all of his belongings. He only had the clothes that were on his body left because he had to sell them to eat and to be able to have a living. But at the same time, he said it taught him a great lesson. And sometimes I feel that kind of a lesson is one that we need to experience too. Because until we experience something that people are going through, it's very hard for us to relate to them or feel that we want to help them. We come with all kinds of excuses of wanting to do so, but we need to remember that Jesus is calling us to help people. And those people that were there needed help. They didn't need to be sent home to take care of themselves. They needed to be taken care of then. And then was the time that Jesus performed his miracle. There's all different kinds of things that God can teach us here in this story about responding in obedience to what God wants us to do. It means to be ready at any moment to take time to be with people at our own expense, to give up our cell phones, to give up our time spending time on those. And I think that probably I would venture to say probably 90% of our day is on the cell phone now. I don't think that's like an exaggeration. I think that people have their cell phone with them probably 100% on when they're asleep even. And if it bings, you wake up and go to it and start to look at it. What about people that don't have any? How are they spending their time? Right? I think that's the biggest issue. We're talking about a pandemic and COVID and everything, and that's a huge problem in the world. But I think probably second to that is the cell phone causing people to be so incredibly selfish and self-consumed. And we're all becoming like that. And I'm a guilty party as well, you know. But we can't let that happen. Because there's a lot of people that need to be helped. There's a story that I sent out a couple days ago about a guy named Adam Kramer. He's someone who I knew when I was working down in a prison down in South Jersey, and I went and I taught a Bible study every week, and he was one of the prisoners there. He was an FBI wanted, he was on a wanted list with the FBI because he was into drugs, selling drugs from an early age. He was going around and partying all the time, and he got caught, and he went to prison. And someone opened up a Bible and taught him about Jesus, and he was saved, and his life was transformed. And now what is he doing? He got out of prison. He served the sentence. He lives in Delaware, in Wilmington. And you can watch a video of him on YouTube. Wilmington, Delaware is called Murder Town, USA, because there's so many murders that take place. And he's from Wilmington. And so what did he do? He went back to Wilmington. First, he went to a church and he asked them if he could be a janitor in their church so he could get himself work back into society. And the church finally agreed and said, yes, you can be our janitor. And so he got a job. He got married. He has a wonderful wife. They go to a church and they're practicing Christianity. But then he looked at his life and he said, you know, I really want to help other people. And he found a need among young people that were living in detention homes. They were these young juvenile delinquents who were put into this home because they had done things wrong. And he went to them and said, I'd like to do this. I'd like to help these kids. I think I can do it. And so they said, just, you know, send us your information and we're going to get you trained and you can do it. And overnight, literally overnight, he became someone who was training young people who were living in detention homes, how to be responsible. And that's what he does full time now. He invested his time in the lives of young people so that they could have a chance in life and that they wouldn't grow up to be murderers. We need to use the opportunities that God gives to us and the gifts that we have for his kingdom. But it takes a step. It took him a step to go to the church and ask for a job as a janitor. It took a step for him to go to a place and say, I've just spent all this time in jail. I was on the FBI most wanted list. It probably sounds like I'm crazy, but I want to help kids. But I'll tell you why they believed him. Because I knew him, and he was teaching me a lot about the Bible. He spent time in God's Word. He knew God's Word, but he knew most of all that his sins were forgiven, and despite all the crime that he had committed, he was a forgiven man. And he knew that, and so he wanted to give back to society. Jesus said, have the people sit down. As soon as he got that bread and the loaves, and he said, this is not going to feed everybody. He said, just have them sit down. And that's when he took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. And also with the fish, as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather the leftover fragments, then nothing may be lost. And they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. They saw what happened there. They saw Jesus, and they saw that God was real, and they witnessed that. Why? Because of the faith of some people that learned that Jesus Christ was not just an average man. He was not just this teacher. He was God, and only God can do what he did. And they saw that, and they knew that, and they remembered it their whole lives. Jesus prayed to God. And so let us pray to God. Let us learn to pray to God. To get the power, right? To receive the power from him to feed many people. Learning to feed people is one of the big things that Jesus teaches us. And it also extends into the gospel. It extends to from the children the message today to share with other people. We do not want to be people who don't share the gospel. We want to look for opportunities to do that. In life, as his disciples, we need to pray for God to provide. We see the example of Jesus, his life, right? Where God provides, heals, and brings back from the dead. The impossible has been made possible. Let us also take to heart the calling of God to feed others. But let us begin by praying to God to teach us the attitude we need to learn here and then go and take the first step to do so. What I'm trying to say there is let's not try to find a quick way to solve this and give some money to an organization to feed the poor. Let's pray for God's leading in our life so that we can understand what it is that we're called to do and then ask him to lead us to a place where we can do those things for him. There's a last thing I want to share with you comes from a devotional that we read this past week in an English as a second language class. It's called Displaying God Through Your Life. Let me just read this last paragraph for you. This is the great paradox of the Christian life. We are to work diligently on our faith, yet always with the awareness that only God can bring about lasting change in our lives. As we see God at work in us, we are motivated to work even more diligently. God will not force his changes upon us. Neither can we bring about lasting change in our lives apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. When you sense God developing an area of your life, join him in his activity so that his salvation will be demonstrated fully. Let us pray to God today that we will join him in his activity, so that his salvation will be demonstrated fully. Brothers and sisters, let us feed the people around us. Now let us pray, and then we'll sing a responsive song. Father, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the challenge in it. And we know, Lord, that it is for our good. Change us, Father, from people who are consumed with cell phones into people who take a step of faith to make a difference in the world around us, so that Jesus Christ will be praised. And we ask you to bless this in Jesus' name.